Apologetics, Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. It is March 3rd, 2020. May the Lord bless you greatly in the hearing of His Word, hopefully, as it gets preached today. If you're a first-time listener, welcome to the show. This is a Christian apologetic show, and we talk about all kinds of things, as you'll hear if you continue to listen. I'm a bit different in that I don't apologize for what the Word of God says. The Word of God is true. The Bible is true. 66 books, not any more than that. And we just tackle everything. So why don't you give me a call if you want. We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Four open lines. I want to hear from you. And we might as well just get right on the phones. Let's get to Chris from Atlanta, Georgia. Chris, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Slick, and God bless you and you and your ministry.
Well,
thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple questions, however many you have time for. In order of priority, my father has terminal brain cancer. I don't know that he has a very strong testimony, but I'll get straight to my question. He's leaving a family behind. I am trying to faithfully balance 1 Timothy 5:8. In light of Matthew 12:50, Luke 12:52, and others. What advice or insight might you have for me, brother?
Well, Matthew 12:50, whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. 1 Timothy 5:8, for if anyone does not provide for his own, especially his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So he's not... This is your father, right? He's not provided for the family? Would he leave the family?
No,
abandon
when
it?
He passed away, yeah. Great question. I'm sorry, I didn't clarify. I got all excited because I'm on your show. he'll be leaving behind a wife who will be a widow at that point, my stepmother, mm-hmm. who is a Roman Catholic. And so there's concerns about spiritual separation between her and our family, but I still want to do everything I can to provide for her, and so I've been providing for that, you know, them and my father, of course, financially. My concern is that when she, given that she's bedridden, when my father passes, I want to try to honor that commandment to look after them. But I have concerns about getting too close, given the spiritual differences.
Get as close as you can. You're a Christian, yeah. Right?
Amen. Yes,
and you're not a Roman Catholic, you're a Christian. You've trusted
No,
him.
No. I'm an independent Baptist.
Okay, good.
Me and my wife took your critical thinking course. Like we've supported you for 3 years. I'm one of those.
Okay, well good. All right, well good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, so here's the thing. You are correct. You're under obligation to take care of your parents, and when one passes away, the other one, you do what you can to take care and to provide. She's a Roman Catholic, so your obligation is to continue to pray for her and preach her the gospel so that hopefully she'll be saved and leave that false teaching of the Catholic Church. And getting close to her isn't an issue. You should be close. She's family. And you're not going to get Roman Catholic cooties and then become apostate.
Of course not yet.
So, you know, just in gentleness, with concern, you just talk about trusting Christ for all of the forgiveness of their sins. In fact, one of the things I'll say to Catholics is, is Jesus God? And say, yes. Does he forgive sins? Yes. Can you pray to him? Yes. If you pray to him and ask him to forgive you of all of your sins, will he forgive you of all of your sins? It's just as simple as that. And the Catholics will say yes, but they won't pray to Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. They pray to Mary, and they go to the priest, and they go to baptism and sacraments, do all these works for forgiveness. They don't understand the true gospel. So this is what you have to do, is just get to the gospel. Don't talk about Mary, and if she brings up Mary, just ignore, unless it's really heretical and is going to get in the way. But the idea is to just focus on the issue of what the truth is. And see, the gospel is powerful. And Romans 1:16 talks about that. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. And Isaiah 55:11 says that the word of God will not come back empty without accomplishing what God desires. So that's your job. You'll be fine.
Amen. Amen, brother. The concern is simply that with these, I'm a proponent, I guess you would call it, of doctrinal separation of the right. Peter Masters variety, if you'd like, and you have some articles on your website about that. So I'm just trying to be mindful of that, given the possibility that she may need to, she sort of threatened suicide over the possibility of going to a nursing home, and so that's very sensitive and really puts me and my family in a difficult position to think about. But I'll definitely take your counsel.
Yeah, you have to understand that losing a spouse is trauma, and then being, so to speak, not that I don't mean it to put it this way that you're doing anything like this, but the idea from their perspective being carted off to a strange place to be taken care of, which is a signification of, hey, you're going to die, you need to be over here. It can be interpreted that way from that perspective, and it's frightening. So you have to understand that you and your wife and friends and family need to be as supportive as possible and do what you have to do within reason, of course. But it's just a very difficult thing. Put yourself in her shoes. How would you feel? And she might lash out. Well, let her lash out. If she gets mad at you and says bad things or whatever, well, okay. And you move on. You let it go. And so because people in fear will say things and do things when their lives are upset so much. They can just act in bad ways. Pain causes that. In fact, when my gallbladder was dying years ago, I got really upset with my wife, and I'm putting it in polite terms, because she wasn't there next to me while she was out running errands. And I was extremely, let's just say, distraught, putting it quite politely. She knew something was wrong. This is what pain and suffering does. It has an effect on you. And so, be there as compassionate as you can, and let her know that it's because of the love of Christ that you... you're going to do what you can, the best way you can. You have to discuss the particulars with your wife and your situation, but that's what you have to do. That makes sense?
Amen. Yes, it does. Thank you so much, Mr. Slick.
Sure. You can call me Matt. Matt's fine. You said you had another question?
If you have time for one more question, I would I would love the opportunity. Otherwise, I'll hurry along. I know you have other callers.
Well, we have three open lines. Let me get the number out again, folks. You have three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. Don't make me come out there. All right, Chris, go ahead.
I've thrown my whole Logos package at this. I haven't been able to find an answer. I actually emailed, I think, this to you at some point. Here it is. The question's regarding Matthew 24:5.
Okay. For many will hear my name saying I am Christ and will mislead many, yes.
So this will be difficult to ask the question verbally. I initially had posed the question with letters for superscript, but I'll try. So is the correct interpretation of that verse that many will come saying that Jesus is Christ and will deceive many, or that many will come saying that they themselves are the Christ and will deceive many? And the reason I ask is, well, because of the times, right? The Joel Osteens of the world, the Mormons, lots of other folks will say, quote unquote, that Jesus is Lord or that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but they seem to be deceiving an awful lot more people than the folks that are coming along saying that they're Jesus, right?
Right. What they're saying, what Jesus is saying, is that people in the future will say that they are the Messiah, that they are the deliverer. And there have been many like that. There's cults that abound where the leader, male or female, it may not say they are the Christ or the Messiah, though some do, as in Sung Young Moon, claims to be
heard about him.
Jesus reincarnated, from what I understand, and his wife is the Holy Spirit. This is the kind of deception that Jesus is warning about, among other deceptions as well. So I am the Christ is something that Understood. They will say. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Deliverer. And I think we could expand it a little bit to say things like it would include Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, because he's saying he is the restorer of the truth. And Charles Taze Russell, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the restorer of the truth. And Muhammad, the restorer of the truth. This is what Jesus warned about. People are going to come along and say, we're restoring the truth. We're the deliverer into the truth and the true religion. They don't point to Christ. They point to their ability and them being called by God. When Jesus said there wouldn't be any more Christs and there would not be any more prophets.
That makes a lot more sense because, my thought, Sun Myung-moon, I guess, being the 120,000 member exception, I wouldn't think someone coming along saying, I'm the Christ would be very persuasive if you were trying to mislead Christians, casting yourself as an angel of light. But maybe to your point, it's that...
It disconnected on its own. Are you there? Let's try this. Anthony, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, my machine here on my desk disconnected itself from the call server.
Man.
It took me a bit to figure it out. So, anyway, that happens. A little tech issue there. All right, big man. What do you got, buddy?
What's up, man? Let me go outside real quick so I can get some privacy because that would be better for me right now. So I just want to talk for like 2 minutes because I got some stuff going on, and I believe that the enemy is really, really working to take me away from Christ, and I'm trying not to let him, and I'm not going to let him, but I recognize that I need help, and I need help from other prayer warriors, and I need help from other believers. I'm 17. I'm still in high school. I pray for my friends all the time. I have prayer lists for people around me. Everybody I encounter in my mind, I'll say a prayer like, Lord, I pray that they come to know and see that you want them to not be of the world, but be of you. So many young people around me and old people, like my parents and my brother, are unsaved, and I pray for them every day and every night. And I shouldn't say always been, but I've been doing it a lot more recently, and a problem that's arisen with me recently is
Hold on, man.
I've been thinking different.
Hold on, we got a break. Okay, we're going to hear what you had to say. So hold on, all right?
All right,
buddy. All right.
We got
Anthony from Middleton. We have two open lines, folks. 877-207-2276. Give me a call. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Sun goes down. After the kind of thing, there we go. All right, Anthony, you there, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. So where? Okay. Oh, so. Go ahead and continue.
All right. So, as a young man in high school, I pray every day, and I do. Right. I have a Bible. I very wholeheartedly admit I don't read it enough. I do read it. I read when I choose, which is not often enough. And I hope and pray that, just through more belief, I will come to see that not only is it a necessity, but it will be a want, and it will be something that, like a hunger, I will have to feed my soul every day with word. But I feel like my neglect at certain times has caused the enemy to interfere with my life more so than he would have otherwise. And just lately, it sucks, man. I don't like it, and I pray constantly that I've been thinking about guys differently. And it's just something I see starting to become a problem, and I do the best I can to fight it, man.
Well, I'm not sure I understand what the problem
is. It's as simple as that. It's just another guy who's fearful about his sexual orientation praying and being a believer, looking for prayers, man. And it sucks, and I don't like it, and I'm trying my best.
Okay, so let me see if I understand.
To not to fight it, and I know I need help.
That's okay. So you're saying you're being attracted to the people of the same sex? And that's what your difficulty is?
I wouldn't say that, honestly. I haven't gotten that far, and I hope and pray I don't, but I'm thinking different. Like, I'm looking at certain guys, like, that I wouldn't have before, and, like, I'll quickly shut it down. like mentally, okay. And I'll be like, oh, Lord, help me. I rebuke that thought. Okay. But I'm looking at guys, and I'm thinking, ah, he's kind of cute, garbage like that, man. And
here's the thing.
It sucks a lot.
Here's the thing. For one thing, we have a lot of going on in the world that puts bad ideas into our minds. And when you're 17, and when I say this, please understand I'm not talking down to you because of your age. But I remember when I was 17, and I'm going to tell you, things were difficult. There's a lot happening. You have one foot, so to speak, in childhood and one foot in adulthood. And you have hormones going. Your brain is rewiring. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but the physical brain in the male is not really fully developed until about the age of 25. With a female, it's about the age of 23. You're still developing. Now, I'm not being dismissive. I'm just saying there's a lot going on. And so don't beat yourself up too much. You know, just understand that, okay, things happen. What you do with those things is what's important. And so I remember I was in seminary, and a professor made a comment, and I never forgot this comment. And it was a good comment that he made when he said he would see an attractive woman someplace, and the first thing he would do is pray and said, Lord, please protect her from my lust and the lust of others. And so I never forgot that, because what he was doing was admitting that he had his struggles as well. And yet what he did was he submitted them to the Lord. And this is a PhD seminary professor. And he's a very godly man. He ended up becoming my counselor, my marriage counselor, my wife, and I had some problems during seminary, and he was a great man of God. So when I hear people say they have problems, on one hand I'm saying, don't worry about it. On the other hand, I say, well, worry about it. You know, it depends. Don't worry about it in that you're normal. Don't worry about that. But you do need to be concerned about it because, well, we want to be sanctified before our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you pray, and you constantly give these things to the Lord all the time. And you make that part of what you are. And what will actually happen is your brain will rewire. Your desires will rewire. You'll become more godly. And if it doesn't happen like that, then you need to seek counseling from someone else and work through the issues. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes we can have, let's just say, concerns that take years to have victory over. And I'm not saying this is going to be your case. I'm just saying I know what it means to struggle. I know what it means to have victory and not have victory, to have prolonged struggle and gradual victory. I know what it means for all kinds of things like that. And the thing that I look to the most through all of these is my Lord and Savior Jesus, because I remember how he saved me. And I remember that he has loved me from before the foundation of the world, and that he chose me for salvation even though he knew everything about me. You know, I heard a preacher once say, I'm glad that God predestined me for salvation from before the foundation of the world, because if he'd look at me now, he wouldn't pick me. And I love that, because it's an admission that, you know, we're not what we're supposed to be. And it's also an admission that God loves us anyway. You have got to realize that the love of Christ for you cannot be broken. You have to understand, you cannot undo that. And your struggles are allowed for a reason. Now let me tell you something. It's exceedingly rare for me to hear anybody of your age who prays and seeks the will of the Lord like breathing. And it might be...
Honestly, man. I'll be honest. Like, mentally, I won't say it out loud. I'll pray when I'm alone. I'll pray out loud, obviously. Mm-hmm. Mentally, I'll pray for myself and for others at least 70, 80 times a day. Just little here and there. I'll be sitting on my computer at school doing a project. Lord Jesus, help me. Like, stuff like that in my head just over and over.
Well, you're about 10 times.
And I realize that it's good, and it's helping me, and it's bringing me somewhere that I need to be. And I put faith in that, always.
Well, you know, I was going to say, you're about 10 times. You do it 10 times more than I do on a daily basis. So let me tell you something. Generally speaking, when someone has something like you do, a lot of times it's because God wants to do something with you. And because of that, the enemy attacks all the more. So, when I hear that people like you have these big struggles, I almost want to smile, because I see the potential of what God is doing, and that's why the enemy is working so hard. And I know that God's in control, and I know the road you're going through, the struggle. I know that road. And it's a hard one, and it's difficult. But I am so glad I've gone down that road and a few others like it, that over the years have made me what I am, so that I can, by God's grace, minister to even more people. So trust in Christ beyond your ability to understand through it all.
Amen.
Continue to pray, continue to resist, and you'll have victory.
Amen, man. Thank you for taking my call and hearing me out.
It's okay, man. You sound kind of normal, all right? I a lot of guys trust me and tell me things. I will never disclose any individuals, whatever, but I'll tell you.
Of course.
You're not alone, all right? And keep seeking Christ.
No doubt.
Christ can... You got something good going on, man. All right?
Thank
God's
you.
Not going to leave you. All right?
All right, man. Thanks for taking my call and hearing me out.
God bless, buddy. I'm praying for you. All right. That was Anthony from Middleton, New Jersey. We have three open lines, folks. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Let's get to Scott from Allenstown, New Hampshire. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right, by God's grace. What do you got, man?
Okay, I'm 53 years young. I think I'm Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. I think you guys are awesome.
Thanks.
And I was looking at some of the dialogues that you have with some persons, like atheists and people of different religions. And there's one particular woman whose name was Gail, and it was quite a lengthy discussion between you and her on the it was typed out. And I looked at it, and what I got from it is that she resents. She was an intelligent woman, obviously, but she resented your assurance, because you had assurance in your salvation that she felt that she had to work hard for, and that's what I got from that. And that was very interesting. It was very uplifting. And I myself was an ex-Catholic, and I joined the service, and it was the best thing I could have done, because it exposed, not because of the service itself, because I was exposed to many different people from all over the country. And one of the things that was said to me was that the Catholic Church was the world's largest, most well-respected cult, and that just blew me over. And I never had the same perspective on it as I did in the past, because that's all I knew, because I grew up Catholic, and that's all I know. And I went to a born-again church, and I kind of fell away. And then later on, I asked the Lord to save me, because my marriage was going south, and I asked God, I cried out for God to save me back in March of 1999. I have one daughter. She's 22 years old. Her name is Emily, and she's beautiful, and she's smart, and she's in college, and she's getting all A's and B's. And I try to spend as much time with her as I can, but I'm the laughing, joking buddy. I'm not so much the stern, strict father.
Well,
we get together, we laugh and joke and everything.
Well, do you have a question, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm always laughing and joking with her, and I got to get right down to it. Hey, Emily, you got to get saved. You got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. She's 22 years old, and what do I say to her? I gave her a book by Mark Cahill, The Last Heartbeat, or One Heartbeat Away.
Okay.
what should I say to her to really cement the fact that she really needs to be saved? She's got everything going for her, and she doesn't realize she needs salvation.
Okay, so I have to apologize. I got distracted because some spammer guys were in the chat using foul language. But I heard everything except for one little thing. Is she an atheist by any chance, or what? What is she? What is she?
I don't think she is, but her mother teaches her absolutely nothing about God, to my knowledge.
Okay, so she's kind of whatever.
Her mother left me for another guy. And, okay. What's that?
Okay, I got you. So what I would do is, first and foremost, is you got to pray. You have got to pray and ask the Lord to speak to her. Now, I have a wayward daughter, and this is what I do. I can answer all her objections, but she's not going to come to me for answers, because that's what family does sometimes, you know? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is. So our job is to be loving and supportive and very prayerful, and ask that the Lord would open up her heart and her mind, because Jesus opens the mind to understand Scripture, Luke 24:45. He does that, and God causes us to be born again, 1 Peter 1:3. So he's the one we have to go to. And you ask him to give you words of wisdom in a fatherly way. Because if I were in the same room with you and I said the same thing that you say, she'll listen to me, but not you. You know how that is. So,
yeah.
Just wait, whatever. I have a friend who would come over and talk to one of my other daughters about the Lord, and he actually had to apologize to me. Because I hope you don't try and take your place about this. Don't worry at all. She'll listen to you. And he was saying the same thing I would say. It's just how it is. So don't worry about that.
I know that Jesus in his own town was not welcome, but he went other ways. And,
that's right.
Oh, you're too familiar. I know you too much.
And they know too much about you.
I'm the joke. I'm the buddy. I'm the pal. I'm the joker. Yeah. We laugh together. So it's kind of like, okay, now I'm going to be dead sober serious. Right. Honey, you need to accept Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. So perhaps I should pray that she come across somebody that would really tell her about the Lord and her need of salvation.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. And also pray for the opportunity to be able to speak to her. Because it doesn't mean you can't say anything. But it does mean that, you'd be very careful and cautious when you speak, and just do the best you can. And when you think you've blown it, just go talk to the Lord. And he's the one who's the sovereign king. He is in control. He opens the heart. And that's what you have to trust. Okay?
All right, sir.
All right. Trust me, I know. All right, man?
All right. You're awesome, man.
Well, I don't know about that, but praise God. Okay.
Yeah, I like you. Okay.
Okay. All right, man. God bless. All right. Let's get on to Chris from Atlanta, Georgia. Chris, how are you doing, man? Welcome to the show. You're on the air. Are you there, Chris? Chris?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Ooh, I just got ready to click. It's all right. What do you got, man? What's up?
I was on mute. I thought I fell between the cracks, and I just started listening in. I'd given up hope. Good to be back with you.
It's all right.
Oh,
so what do you got?
Fine. Let's see. My wife asked to prioritize the remaining questions she wants me to ask, number 3. That is, in what sense can no one say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost, in accordance with 1 Corinthians 12:3? Mm-hmm. Is this statement in the original language intended to state that Jesus is the Lord, or Jesus is their Lord, or that no one can, by faith, make either claim?
We would go for both, that he is the Lord, and by default of being the Lord, the Savior, then he is the one who is the Lord of our lives as well, whether we like it or not. And what verse was that?
Amen. So that was 1 Corinthians 12:3, and so it's not a true contraindication. We know that there's no contradictions. It's just being Bereans about it. But the scripture kind of I'm holding up next to it would be something like, let's say Matthew 8:29, right? That's not really a profession of faith. They know that to be an actual fact. in this instance, it's the demons and their knowledge of who Christ is, right?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12:3 generally is talking about the issue of of the true conversion, the true thing about this. Mormons can say Jesus is Lord. Jehovah's Witnesses can say Jesus is Lord. But there's more to it that's going on. The Holy Spirit will bear witness of the true Christ. And it's not just this issue of the Lord, because it says no one can say Jesus is accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord. And it's talking about the true Jesus, not the Jesus of Mormonism or the Jesus of Jehovah's Witnesses or the Jesus of Islam or anything like that. So it has to be the true Christ.
Amen.
So, okay.
Okay, so yeah, this is very similar to the answer to the second question then, in that these folks are ultimately trying to make authoritative claims about what's ultimately another Jesus. I'm hearing
well,
you right.
The other ones do. Yeah, like Mormons teach Jesus is...
The other folks, yeah.
Yeah. It teaches that Jesus is the brother of the devil begotten through sexual relations between God and his goddess wife who came from another planet. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus is Michael the Archangel who became a man, who was the first creation of God. So these are false Jesuses. And then Jesus of Islam
Amen.
Is just a prophet. So, you know, wow. That's right. Okay.
Do you have time for one more?
Real quick, before the break. Sure, we'll do that.
This is fantastic. Oh, great. Thank you so much. Let's go with it's a foreknowledge / predestination mm-hmm. question. Not so much I guess it is a question. So I'm currently looking at churches. A lot of these churches don't want to deal with election. And mm-hmm. the ones that do try to pick the road in the middle and basically mm-hmm. say, yes, you know, the elect are predestined. But they try to take this middle ground to say that God basically elected and predestined those whom he knew would choose him.
Yeah,
I feel like there's
false.
An easy refutation somewhere in Romans 9.
Well, you go to Romans 3:5, but what the issue is here is that those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. The foreknown ones are the predestined ones. They make the mistake of thinking that to foreknow means to look into the future to pick people who will pick him. And that means that they deny total depravity, and it also means that God is then reacting and or potentially learning by knowing who's going to pick him. Then, based on that, he does something. That's a form of favoritism, which James 2:2-4 absolutely rejects. And plus, the Bible says, and I give you all the references, that the unbeliever cannot come to Christ on his own. And you go to John 6:65.
Exactly.
So what they're doing is trying to please men instead of please God in that understanding of Scripture. Okay.
Gotcha. And is that it's because he can't choose himself, so it would
That's
be
right.
it would be yeah,
God
I understand.
Chooses them.
Thank
That's
you.
Right. Okay, buddy.
Thank you so much. God bless, brother.
Okay,
Thank
God
you.
God bless you too. All right. Hey folks, we have two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's get to Rebecca from Richmond, Virginia. Rebecca, welcome. You're on the air. Rebecca, are you there? Hello? Let's see, I'll give it a few more seconds here. Sometimes people are frantically trying to hit the unmute thing and... You know, running across the living room. Hey, hold on. Which is fine. Rebecca, I don't hear you. I'll put you on hold. Let's get to J.D. from Panama City, Florida. J.D., welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate your time.
Sure.
I just had a question recently. Without getting too specific, I had a temptation arise, and I didn't handle it in the best Christian way that I could have, and to make my question as short as possible, I know as Reformed, in the Reformed camp, we believe total depravity. Even after we're Christians, we still have that depraved nature.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, this situation that I fell to just kind of has kind of put a fear in my heart of what I'm capable of. And I, it's like I got a glimpse of the evil that's still in my heart, and just I'm not sure how to fight this fear of future failure since I failed this past time. How do you overcome this inner fear of what I'm capable of, if that makes sense?
Oh, I understand. Welcome to the club. So what we do is we implore the Lord to deliver us from temptation. And we ask that he guide us. We ask that he protect us. Because he's allowed us to see something in ourselves It is not good. And we're ashamed and concerned and worried. And this is a sign of truth and regeneration in you. Another thing I would recommend is that, not knowing what the particulars are, and that's okay, don't need to, is to rehearse in your mind over and over and over again the situation, that when it arises, you rehearse the proper reaction. And you do this hundreds of times, over weeks, where you think about it, and this is what you're going to do. And you'll be surprised that that you'll actually, you know, move that direction, or be more easily moved in that proper direction. And if it doesn't, so to speak, work, not that it's a gimmick, but you go to your knees and you ask God for strength through it. This is what we have to do. We all have these abilities in us to do that which is ungodly, even as Christians. And the enemy wants to destroy us and tear us down with these things and destroy our witness. So it's an important concern that we seek him and that we desire to honor him in everything we do. And that if and when we fail in these things, we go straight to the cross. And don't make a mistake that I made for a long time before the Lord convicted me of it. You know, this was a mistake I used to make. I would fall into something. And I just beat myself up over it. And I wouldn't go and talk to Jesus about it, because I wasn't worthy to go talk to him. I had to make myself feel guilty long enough before I felt worthy to go talk to him and get forgiveness, because I felt so bad. Then one day, it had to be him, just out of nowhere. He said that that was a greater sin, because I was trying to make myself worthy to go get forgiven by punishing myself. And I had to repent of that as well. One sin leads to another, and sins are never by themselves. And so he taught me that. And so then it's always to the cross I go. And I have a devotional that I've written on this. To the cross again I go. There's no other place that you can go. You have to go. Check that devotional out if you want. But that's what you got to do. That's what you have to do. Does that help any?
I appreciate that, Matt. That helps a lot. I was feeling the exact same way after everything, the dust kind of settled. It was like, I can't go to God because he's angry. I don't feel worthy to even repent, you know, to even talk to him. So that's a help, what you said.
Yeah, you're such a sinner. You're so bad. And that's what you got to do. You just got to go, oh, of course I'm not worthy. I'm getting on my knees and I'm talking to him anyway, because that's what the cross is there for. I don't think for a second that he didn't know about all of this when he saved you. And he's kept you, and his love for you can never fade. Can never fade. And what the heck is he thinking, saving someone like you and me, knowing what we're like inside? What's he thinking? Don't know. But praise God for his mercy anyway. And just ask him to develop strength in you and to use you in spite of yourself for his glory. That's what you have to do. Okay?
Hey, amen. Thank you, Matt. That helps a lot. I appreciate that. I'll check out that devotional as well. Thank you.
All right, man. Okay. Well, God bless, JD. Okay.
God bless. Thank you.
All right. All right. The next longest waiting person is Danielle from Laurel Springs, Colorado. Danielle, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How you doing? I'm not from Laurel Springs, Colorado. It's Laurel Springs, New Jersey.
Laurel Springs. Okay, no big. And it's Daniel, not Daniel. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's good. God is my judge.
What do you
God
got?
God is my judge, brother. Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell you, I really appreciate your site. I ordered some of your materials a while back. I work in another country with people that pray five times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate your stuff that you have.
Well, praise God, man.
And I wanted to ask you, you know, I just wanted to tell you, appreciate it. I know you don't have much time left, and I might
can
ask
I interrupt you really
time.
Quickly? I just really fast. Do you know about ABN satellite TV?
No, because I move around a lot. So what okay. I do, that's not really an option for me.
Well, ABNSAT.com. I'll be on there tomorrow night talking about Islam. But you can check them out. They have an incredible amount of information and stuff. ABNSAT.com. Anyway, go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, I've been doing this for almost 20 years. Okay. Is that something you can get on your computer?
Yes. Yeah, just a web page. They have a TV network. It goes all over the world. So it's a different network of TVs. But, yeah, it goes into all kinds of countries. ABNSAT, they're great. They speak Arabic, and they're Christians. They love the Lord. Okay?
Okay, I'll look them up. And one last question. Now, you probably don't have enough time, but I've been sitting and studying with a Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I thought of just as I was talking before I spoke to you, okay?
Okay.
I've been keep getting the greater light, you know, argument mm-hmm. about stuff that in the past were, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you know that they've changed, and we're imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get at this thing. I've shown them stuff from their website, from websites online. You know, do you know any other way around this argument? I know
sure.
that
here I got something for you. It's quick and slick. So you say the light's getting brighter? They'll say yes. So does that mean the further back in your organization you go, the more in darkness you guys were?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
What are they going to say?
We'll get that.
Well, yeah, no, we were in light. Well, wait a minute. Then the light's getting brighter. How does the light get brighter? Is it more intensity? So you're always in the light, right? How do you know you're always in the light?
Yeah.
Because your organization made false prophecies. And I show them the false prophecies.
Yeah.
I say, so that was, they were in darkness, or the light was just kind of dim? And 500 years from now, how bright will the light be? And what will the things that you believe now, just as those prophecies were made, were false? What is your organization going to condemn a lot of what you believe now? That could be bad for you and going to the kingdom.
Yeah, also I said to him, I said, you know, you said that you're not inspired. But I went back to all the Jehovah's Witnesses publications you can find online on PDF right now,
mm-hmm.
and I said, you know, they made prophetic utterances.
Yes, they did.
But you said they're not inspired. That's not logical. It doesn't make sense. Like in 1 Peter, what it talks about.
That's right.
Now he's been a Jehovah's for 45.
That's right. They did it in the name of the Lord. That's right. They made false prophecies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I know.
Good
they
for
did.
You.
Yeah. Okay. All right, brother. Thanks. If I
What's
have
that?
Any more questions, I'll give you a call. But
keep
what you're doing. I follow your site. I follow a guy named Whipple Lingo site. Was a guy named Fran Sankey, and I love Dr. James White and David Wood too. And Answering Islam. They're just all great sites.
Oh yeah, Dave's a great guy. I know Dave. Yeah, he's awesome. And Sam Shimon is also quite good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I love his linguistic. You know. Disproving of their Mahmadin and Mahmad,
yep.
You know, in Song of Solomon, okay. And he says, you know, Allah Akbar means, you know, cursed mouth in Hebrew. I like that one especially.
Yeah, he's amazing. They're all, right, all amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. God bless.
He just
man.
Pulled it out of the air. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
thanks, David.
Bye bye.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye bye.
It's all right, man. All right. Let's get over to Lynn from Ohio. Lynn, welcome. You're on the air.
Welcome, Matt.
Welcome.
Yeah, I was wondering, I like this elect and reading it in the Bible a lot. It assures me all the more of my salvation.
Praise God.
But I just was wondering, what if you're elected and you die before you're saved?
It's impossible. The election of God means that you'll come to that place of believing. God can't make a mistake like that. He can't choose you for salvation and then you not be saved. Because 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says we're chosen for salvation. It says in Ephesians 1:4-5 that he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we'd be holy and blameless in Christ. He predestined us. And so that's what it says. God can't make mistakes in that area. Not happening.
Okay. Well, I'm glad of that.
That's right.
Yeah, I believe so, because he pretty much knew us and he elected us and all that stuff.
Yes, he did.
I guess I'm uncomfortable because the nephew just passed away and I don't think he was saved.
Mm.
And I know I shared with him a long time ago, but, you know, it's just the funeral itself and everything, right. You just could tell that he didn't have Christ.
Well,
he was such a good man, though, and had a good family, and still does. But it was
he's
bad.
Jesus, though. sorry to hear that. Okay. Yep. All right. Well, I'm going to try to get to one last caller, okay? All right.
All right. Thanks for the information.
All right, Lynn.
God bless.
God bless you, too. All right. Let's get to Courtney from Ohio. We have about a minute in the show. Courtney, what do you got?
Well, I don't know if you're going to be able to answer it in a minute, but so my husband and I was on the lookout for research, and I started checking the statement of faith of an Assembly of God church that's near us that we were going to visit, and I just kind of wanted your two cents on something that I found in there. I mean, I'm with you on, I don't think women should be pastors. I mean, I'm with you because it says it in the Bible. But I found this craziness that I never heard of before about Junia.
Yeah.
What in the world?
They use her as an example of someone who they say was an apostle. And they say, therefore, she could be a pastor. And women could be pastors and elders. But they don't understand that Junia, even though it's a female name, there's some accounts where it was also a male name, used of males as well. So they haven't done their research in that. And I have an article written on that. Stay away from the Assemblies of God Church.
Really?
Stay away from
that. I just assume there's so many that they would be normal.
Mormon churches are a lot, too. It doesn't mean they're right. Okay? But I recommend you stay away from
that. Okay, well, I have more questions, so I'm calling tomorrow.
Please do. I want to hear. Okay. Well, God bless you.
Okay.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Hey, folks, may the Lord bless you. Yes, I did say that. Stay with the Assemblies of God Church. Call up tomorrow. We can talk more about that. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, we'll be back on there tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. See you. Bye.